Our scripture reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every day and every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of his ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of his ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of the God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks. Good morning. You know, I look out at you all and I look out at every service and I could see any and each and every one of you on that video with your story, because I think we've all got a story of how God's worked in our lives, and that's really the amazing thing. We invest in people here, and you're a part of that investment, and you're a part of investing in amazing, and that's why we gave you these tags here if you got them this morning. If you didn't get one, or you wrote your name on it and said, oh, that's not what I'm supposed to do with it, the ushers will bring you another one, right, ushers? Thank you, ushers. Just give them raise your hand, they'll bring you another one. But because we all invest in something here, we all invest in making a difference in the church community, in our community, Howard County, so I hope you have those. I wanted to give you an opportunity real briefly. We're going to take a minute to do this. I want to give you a chance to share with someone else what you wrote down. Or if you didn't write something down, maybe go to somebody who has one and ask them to share their story. So let's all stand as we're able and don't move too far, but find somebody with a tag on around you and ask them about their investment and their story. Just real quickly, ask them about that. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Man, you guys are a talkative bunch, which is good, actually. That means you have stories to share. That means you've been invested, and you've been so generous with your time, your energy. So keep these on this morning as you leave this morning. I hope you get a chance to re-engage some of those stories, some of those conversations, because I know there are a lot out there and many of the stories of life change that are among us. Today I want to key in the sermon about one verse in this sermon. We're going to talk about a couple of verses, but the one verse that comes at the end of this passage is this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, which says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now, what is God's indescribable gift in this passage? Do you know? Maybe you got to flip your bulletin back over and look at it, but what is God's indescribable gift? Grace. All right. It took a preacher at the 8 o'clock service to get that one, but we got it right away at the 9:30. It's grace. It's God's indescribable gift. You can't really describe it, can you? I mean, it's not really concrete and tangible. You know, I tell people, all I know is, you know, people come to me and say, "Matt, what do you all do? You know, what does the church do?" And I could point to the 25 partnerships that we have with different nonprofits in the community and beyond, and I can point to the things that we do, but ultimately it's always about, for me, the indescribable gift of God's grace, and you can't describe it. All I can tell you, here's a life that was broken and hurting, and now it's healed. All I can tell you is that there here's a life that was in sin and is now living in the light. All I know is that here's a person who was once lost and is now spiritually found and living with God. Here is a life that was being lived without God, without Christ, and is now a life lived with Christ. That's hard to explain that to somebody, right? It's indescribable. It's like me trying to explain to someone who's never been a parent what it's like to be a parent. You just don't know until you become a parent. Or it's like me trying to describe to someone who's never been married what it's like to be married. You can't do it. Unless you have gone through that experience, it's hard to describe it, right? You could try and explain, you can try to explain all you want, but you can't. And so that's what makes it so difficult. Some of the ministry that we do is because, you know, my lawn, I go home and I mow my lawn and I look back and it's done, right? I look out at everybody here and nobody's done. Nobody's a finished product of God's grace. We're all in process. We're all on a journey. We're all under construction by God's grace. It's indescribable. I can't tell you, I can't show you a finished product of God's grace. It is something that happens from the inside out. It is transformative and it is life-changing and it is abundant and it is real and it's immense and I can't even describe it. I have trouble describing it. But I know that it exists because I've experienced it. Now, Paul actually is not just talking about God's indescribable gift of grace in this passage. He's actually talking about generosity and the connection between being generous and living generously and God's grace. That these two things are connected to one another. And what I would describe is, because another verse he says, this verse that we've all heard, and several of us have heard, maybe not all of us, but it says that God loves a cheerful giver, right? Remember, cheerful giver. And we all like to be cheerful givers. In fact, that's the exemplification of living generously, is to be a cheerful giver. Now, it's interesting because in this passage, in the NRSV, I actually am in disagreement with the translation here, because if you go back to the original language, it actually doesn't say make up your mind. It says make up your heart. It doesn't say think about this in your mind. It says you have to decide in your heart. And where does grace work? In the heart. That's where the transformative work happens. It's in the heart of the person that God's grace works. Now, it doesn't mean that God's grace doesn't work on the mind too. I know people who they have to get God's grace right in their mind before it affects their heart. And I know people who God's grace affects their heart and then it changes their mind. I know there are different ways that God works. It's not an either or, it's a both and. So we come to God's grace. But so what Paul is saying is that this is a heart situation. Our ability to live generously and to be cheerful givers is directly connected to God's grace at work in our hearts. And if you were to try and describe God's grace to someone, would you say it is abundant? Yes. Would you say that you are spiritually rich because of God's grace? Absolutely. So when it says the cheerful giver, for me to be a cheerful giving flows from God's indescribable gift of grace. These two are connected. So for me to be a cheerful giver requires me to stay connected to the abundance and wealth and richness of God's grace and love and acceptance for me. Because that then enables me to cheerfully love others, cheerfully be generous to others, cheerfully give to others. But what I find that a lot of our generosity sometimes is not attached to grace, and I can say this is true in my life, I'm assuming it's true of your life, that sometimes it's attached to guilt. And we serve a grace-based God, not a guilt-based God. And so when we talk about this, I'm saying that sometimes our giving is guilt-ridden, isn't it? can we just be honest here and just say that sometimes I give because I feel guilty? Let me give you an example. You're in your car, driving the roads, and you pull up to a stoplight, and there on the side of the road is a person with a sign that says homeless or in need or need of food or whatever the sign says. What do you do in that moment when the light turns red and you're right next to the person? You can't go. So do you sit there in the car with the window rolled up and the not making eye contact, and the radio goes up, and you ignore the person there asking, begging of you. And in fact, what always haunts me in those moments as a pastor, which it's now going to haunt you because I'm going to share it with you, is Jesus taught, give to whomever begs of you. Jesus said that. That's right up there with love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you for me, you know. Give to whomever begs of you. And I think about that teaching of Jesus as I sit there at the light. But if you're sitting there at the light and you're ignoring the need, what then starts to happen inside of you, at least what happens in me, is I start to come up with all the reasons I'm not giving. You know, they're going to use this for drugs. They're going to use this for alcohol. They're going to use this to buy cigarettes. They're going to use this for whatever ill, sinful thing I can think of to make who feel better about not giving? Me. Because that's not generosity. That's guilt. That's guilt that is going on. That's not being generous. That's just me trying to not feel guilty. And so we rationalize and we start to put strings on our giving. That's what guilt does to us. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking about guilty generosity. He's talking about cheerful giving. So some of our generosity can be guilt-based. And so to massage my guilt, I'll roll down the window and do something, right? To make the guilt go away. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about cheerful giving, and cheerful giving is based in grace, not guilt. So it's based on my understanding and perspective of God's grace. So if I understand God's grace, if I have experienced God's grace, I know that I am loved abundantly, I am accepted abundantly by God, that I am valuable to God, all these great things. I am forgiven for my brokenness, my sin, all these great things. And so as I'm there, I become spiritually wealthy, and I have more to give to the others around me because of that. Because sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard to keep loving people. But that's exactly what God does in God's grace. It's God keeps loving us. Notice that when God sent Jesus, grace and truth to us, God didn't wait for us to take the initiative. It says in the scriptures that God first loved us, not that we first loved God. That's grace. That's generosity, isn't it? Generosity and cheerfulness and giving is always the decision ahead of time to do something, to respond, to care, to love. Grace always informs and says, take the first step, take the initiative. So I'll tell you about how Pastor Matt deals with the red light. And I don't always get it right, but I'm going to tell you the time I do. All right, let's just talk about the time I get it right, okay? So there's a gentleman in a wheelchair with one leg who sits at the intersection of Route 108 and Center Park Drive. And I know this because at the lunch hour, I go grab a salad some days over at Giant off of Center Park Drive, and I'll go over there, and then I will see him sitting there at the light. And sure enough, as I come out of Giant and get over in the left turn lane, I get the red light. What are you going to do, Matt? That Choose Love bumper sticker calling out to you. So what are you going to do in that moment, Matt? But, you know, a few weeks ago what I did was I rolled down my window. I gave the gentleman a few dollars and a card to the Grassroots Crisis Intervention Center, and I told them about the Route 1 Day Center, which we support, and I said, you can get a meal there. If you're hungry, you can get some care there if you need care. They have actually medical staff as well if you need someone to take a look at something and you need some help. And so not only was I giving them, so I wrapped the card in the money because I didn't want him to just think I wasn't being generous. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to meet the need, but I also wanted to give him some information and another step that could actually help him, not just cash. But I gave the cash so that he'd actually take the card. Because I've had other experiences where you give people the card and they're like, you know, whatever, right? But in that way, he actually read the card, and we actually had a discussion about it, and we actually had a discussion about going to Route 1. This week, I pulled up to light again, turned right again. He was there again. It was 90-some degrees this past Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday or whatever day that was. And he was out there in the sun. He was sweating and sitting out there. And that, to me, says he's out here for a reason if he's willing to put up with this. So I rolled down my window. I talked to him again, checked on him. I said, "How are you doing? Did you get over Route 1? I gave him some more cash. And I encouraged him to move into the shade, get some water, those types of things, just to care about him. And we had a little discussion, and it wasn't just about what he needed, but just who he was as a person. And so in that little 30, 60 seconds, I began to not only care, but I began to develop a little bit of a relationship with him. I wonder how many people just drive right by and never acknowledge him. I wonder how he feels when people just ignore him. And then when one person stops and pays attention. I want you to think about it from his perspective. He's always smiling when we talk. Like he's just so appreciative of having human connection. So to me, I learned it's not just about the food. It's not just about the money. It's about knowing that you're valued and important. And if anything else, it helps me to see him as a human being and not just an inconvenience to my travel time. Not just something to make me uncomfortable, but a human being with dignity and respect. And I think he feels respected and he shows me respect, and we are just humans together in that moment. The reason I do that is not to assuage my guilt, but because I want him to know God's grace. I know God's grace, and it's changed my life, and I know it could change his, and I know it can change yours, and that's why we do what we do. It is cheerful giving. I don't feel bad about this. I feel cheerful about it because it is grace-based giving, not guilt-based giving. You know, I also look out at you all every week, and I look at what the church has been doing, and you all are a part of God's indescribable gift to this community. I don't know if you know that, but you are an indescribable gift as a community of faith to Howard County. You may not always see that or realize that or see that, and even the little things that we do or the things that never make it into the news or never make it to the rounds, all these tags right here are about being indescribable gifts, right? You are an indescribable gift to someone because of God's grace at work in your life. And we are all these indescribable gifts. I'm always thankful, too, for the generosity. I'm thankful this morning that, you know, we've been in this capital campaign pledging season and operating campaign season of giving the ministry budget. We've already got 57 families at Glenmar have already pledged $1.4 million to pay down our debt and to help our church get out of debt. That's halfway to our goal with only 57 families in our church. That's generosity, folks. They're leading the way in being generous. And I want to thank those folks who've already pledged and just being generous and pledging 50% of our goal already. Also, I know that there are already some people beginning to already have, who couldn't be here this week, that said, "I'm getting my pledge in for the ministry budget." And they've already given to the ministry budget because of what we've written here, because they want to continue to invest in the ministry of Glenmar. And so you have pledge cards that were mailed to you this week. If you don't have them with you this morning, the ushers will bring them to you. Just pop your hand up. They'll make sure you get them. If you forgot them or left them on the kitchen table or didn't for some reason get one, I will say, doesn't mean the sermon's over, by the way, but I want you to have them in your hands because we're gonna pray together, and then we're gonna give our offering. But here's what I want you to begin thinking about those pledge cards. Here's what I want to say. If you're a guest with us today, if Glenmar is not your home church, just go tweet something from the sermon right now. Just ignore this part, so to speak. We're not expecting our guests to be a part of this unless you want to. But if you call Glenmar your home church, if you say to people in the community, yeah, I go to Glenmar, then I'd ask you to think about how you can be generous to these two things and fill out these two cards. You can also, so you can get them from the ushers this morning, and then we're going to pray about those. But I'm thankful for the generosity of people here that make Glenmar happen. And so what we saw in the video, what we see on the tags, is all about because people are generous with their time, their money, their gifts, their energy, their resources, all those things. But I want to leave us with a thought from my New Testament professor, Dr. Scott Hafman. He made me learn Greek. That's why you all get it. Sorry. And I had to study the New Testament in the original language. That's why I get like that sometimes. Because of Dr. Scott Hafman, who made us sit in class and learn Greek and study the Bible in the Greek, the original language. Man, so glad that's over, right? So are you. But one of the things he said, to give is to be an outpost of the kingdom of God. I love that. So that when we're generous, when we're giving of ourselves, when we're caring for other people, when we're investing in others, we're actually an outpost of the kingdom of God. Think about that. You are a walking outpost of the kingdom of God. So how you respond to the world around you makes a difference. How you respond to the others around you makes a difference, and it reflects God's grace when you do that, when you love and care for others. So you're a reflection. You're building the kingdom of God when you do that, even though you may not recognize that. But you're an outpost of the kingdom of God. I believe that Glenmar Church is one of God's outposts of the kingdom of God here in Howard County. You think we don't need the kingdom of God today? I know there's some people out there that think the kingdom of God is irrelevant today. I would say that the kingdom of God is more relevant today and more needed today than ever before. You look at our world. Do you see people loving each other and caring for each other and getting along with each other? Or do you see people showing contempt for each other and hatred for each other? You think we don't need the kingdom? I just got an email yesterday from Reverend Wood, who's at Locust United Methodist Church, one of our historically black churches here in Howard County. We're not talking about Ferguson. We're not talking about Baltimore. We're talking about a church, a historically black church in Howard County, down near Athelton High School, who this weekend made the CBS News. Did you know this? Because someone went to their church sign, their big church sign out front of their church, just like Glenmar has, and put 666 in red letters, red numbers, on their church sign as a hate crime, vandalism to their church. I told Reverend Wood I'd be mentioning that and ask you guys to pray for them. That's Howard County, folks. You think Howard County has got it all together? You think Howard County needs the kingdom of God? That's, in my mind, they attacked one of our outposts. Hate attacked one of our outposts. In fact, that's the sign of Satanism. Evil attacked one of our outposts. How are we going to respond? Not more hate. Absolutely not. We respond with grace. We respond with love. We respond by caring for others and building the kingdom, because we just sang this morning that we would do what? Seek first the kingdom of God. And what was the promise that came with that verse? That if we seek first the kingdom of God, what would God do? All other things would be provided for us. So let's pray. I want to invite you to pull out your cards this morning. And it doesn't, again, as I've said before, the amount, whatever you wrote, is what God, we're trusting that God has being faithful and called you to do, and you've prayed about it. And so we want to just pray for these gifts this morning, because these, whatever the amount is, it doesn't matter the amount, it matters the amount of faith and faithfulness that we are giving it, and the generosity and the grace that is connected to it. And so we bring these before you. Said, I ask you just to hold them in your hand or hold them in your heart if you don't have them, and just let's pray together. God, we want to pause and say thank you for your indescribable gift of grace that changes lives, that has changed us that has moved us in our lives. And we know we're not perfect. We know we're still under construction. We know that we still need your kingdom to come to bear in this world. And so, God, thank you, though, for your grace that changes lives and changes people from hate to love, that changes people from sin and darkness to light and acceptance. So, Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts, these investments, and the amazing things that you do with your amazing grace, that we would invest in being your kingdom, that we would invest in building your kingdom here in Howard County through Glenmar. So, Lord, take these gifts. Use them however you wish. Use them for your purposes and for your kingdom today. We give them to you as we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward?